Welcome, everyone. This is Nancy Desjardins from HealthLady.com, and I'll be your host today. So today, we'll talk about magnesium and our health with Dr. Caroline Dean, and why too much calcium and too little magnesium can cause some form of arthritis, kidney stones, osteoporosis, and calcification of the arteries. So now, if you haven't checked out my new website yet, go ahead and you can do that. It's healthlady.com. And while you're on the new site, you can download my free gift to you, which is the Rise and Shine Breakfast Report. And in this report, it's all about making sure that you start your day the right way, and you'll get some really good recipes. And some of you asked me on Facebook the recipe for the morning elixir. Well, the recipe is available in the Rise and Shine. And it's free. It's a free report, so you just have to go on healthlady.com. It's the front page down in the bottom. And you'll be able to get those recipes. So if this is your first time on my calls, thank you so much for joining us. Twice a month, I host a teleseminar, and I interview experts in the field of health and wellness, just like Dr. Dean. So last month, I interviewed food expert Trudy Scott, author of the Anti-Anxiety Food Solution. And Trudy is a nutritionist and food expert, a food mood expert. So she knows all about the connection between food and our moods and the types of foods that provide natural remedies for emotional states like anxiety, depression, or even sugar craving. We also had Dr. Edward Group. Dr. Group is the author of The Green Body Cleanse. And on the call, we really focus on how to heal your gut. And Dr. Group explained, you know, why balancing gut flora is critical for fighting almost every disease. And then in 2 weeks from now, on May 22nd, we'll have Nadia Shah. She's an astrologer, and we're going to talk about astrology. So remember, there are two ways you can take advantage of these interviews or teleseminar. You can join us on my free live teleclass. I mean, it's free to listen. Or you can join the Health Academy member site, where you'll have access to the replays, a transcript of over 130 interviews that I've done. Okay, so now today we're going to look at the reason why people need more magnesium than calcium. Dr. Dean is not only a medical doctor, but also a naturopathic doctor, herbalist, acupuncturist, nutritionist, lecturer, consultant, and author. She's been studying and practicing medicine for about 45 years. She graduated from Dalhousie Medical School in 1978, holds a medical license in California, and is a graduate of the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine in Toronto. She served on the board of governor of the CCNM for 6 years. Dr. Dean is the author and co-author, listen to this one, of over 30 books, including e-books. And her books can be purchased at Amazon.com or her website, which is drcarolinedean.com. And while you're there, you can join her 2-year online wellness program. So visit her website, drcarolinedean.com. I get Dr. Dean's newsletter every week in my inbox, and her blog. I mean, it's very informative. You just go on drcarolinedean.com. You'll know what I'm talking about. So welcome, Dr. Dean, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Nancy. I'm sorry to have such a long CV.
I know. Oh, my gosh. I don't know anyone like you, Dr. Dean. I mean, you are a busy lady.
I know, but for me, it's play, and I don't think I work that hard. I just, you know, I'll do the interview with you, and then I'll go to the beach for a few hours today. It is amazing how things get done very quickly when, well, I don't know, when you're taking magnesium, when you know what you're doing, when things as simple as magnesium can make such a big difference.
But last week I was reading one of your blog posts, and you named that blog post "Live with Dr. Dean," and you really caught my attention. I said, I wouldn't mind living with Dr. Dean. So you share your,
yes,
you share your age. Well, you share your age. You're 65 years old, and while other people might think of retirement, this is not in your agenda, the retirement thing.
No, not at all. I feel healthier now than I did 30 years ago. And I mean, that's the thing about our world is we have to keep active, keep learning, keep growing. Once we stop, then that's where everything else will stop. We'll become rigid. But if we keep learning and growing and living, then we stay young.
Exactly. I so agree. You're such an inspiration for many of us. So keep doing what you're doing, because you're doing an awesome job. So
thank you.
And I sound like a broken record, because this is our fifth interview together, and I read all your newsletters, and when I get a chance, I go and read your blog post. Very informative. It's you're doing a lot. A lot for many people. So, Dr. Dean, how's your radio show about? Have you started the radio show?
Yes, that's what that post was about, the live or live with Dr. Dean. It's every Monday on AchieveRadio.com at, 4 p.m. Pacific time. It's a two-hour show, and it's really quite amazing. It's actually highlighting some of the new things I've been into. I have not been involved with products. The 43 or 45 years I've been doing natural medicine, but in this show I talk about some of the amazing products that I'm involved with now, and mostly people call up to ask questions or give incredible testimonials, and we have a great time. So everybody can join us.
Yeah, congratulations. I'm sure you're going to do really, really well with the two-hour show, but you have so much to share. I mean, you wrote that book, so it's not that you're lacking of information here.
Right.
So you've written in your book, The Magnesium Miracle, which everyone should have a copy, and how calcium and magnesium are sister minerals, but they almost cancel one another out. So can we talk about that? Let's start with that.
Yes, it's a brilliant topic, and not a lot of people have been talking about it until just recently. In the past, I think, year and a half, through our nonprofit organization, nutritionalmagnesium.org, we've been sending out studies and press releases about this aspect of there being too much calcium in our diet, in supplements, and the research showing that, come to find out, women who take calcium supplements, you know, just simply swallow a calcium pill every day, they are at much higher risk for heart disease. And that just started, you know, shaking everybody up. And you can Google that, you know, calcium raises heart disease. And now people don't know what to do about the calcium. They think it's all about the calcium, even to the point that they don't even acknowledge that magnesium balancing with calcium is what we should be looking at. See, what they'll do is that they'll stop the calcium and people won't be taking anything for their bones. And we'll get into that, what is important for the bones and for the body. But one thing that just came up today, Nancy, is in science news and all over the internet, there's this story from a study that says magnesium may be as important to kids' bone health as calcium. And that's the first time I've ever seen such a headline. Because, like I said, with the heart disease, we know that the calcium is going to cause heart disease because there isn't enough magnesium, but that's never stated. So this is the first time there's been a study that says magnesium may be as important to kids' bone health as calcium. And, you know, they sort of tone it down a bit by saying it may But what they did say in their study was that magnesium was the mineral associated with bone health and not calcium. And that's a huge statement for researchers to say, that magnesium is actually more important for bone health than calcium, as shown by their statistics. So anyway, that it's huge, and it's fun that it's on the day we do the interview, because it's a major breakthrough to actually acknowledge magnesium.
And you've been talking about magnesium for like how many years now?
I know. Well, I started researching for the Magnesium Miracle book back in the late 90s when Random House asked me to write it. So I researched the book and wrote it. And actually, it was going to come out in 2001 on 9/11 day. The book was going to be, you know, headline. I was going to go on a book tour and everything. And I was living in New York at the time, and everything just shut down in the publishing industry. The only thing only books they published for the next year were all about 9/11 and you know, the tragedy. So the book was put off for another year, unfortunately. And it's been then, you know, 15 years that I've been working on this project. I always knew magnesium was important, but, you know, it wasn't until I started reading about it for the book that I realized that I was severely magnesium deficient. My heart would jump and skip, and I had incredible Charlie horse cramps in my calves and my leg muscles. When I'd stretch at night, I'd just get thrown out of bed with the pain. So here I found out I was deficient, so I began taking a lot of magnesium, and then I found out I was one of those people that can't take a lot of magnesium because I get the laxative effect, so that led to all kinds of discoveries. So it's been very beneficial for me to be studying this, and you know, some people think that, well, you're just a specialist. You're a specialist in magnesium. But, you know, when you look at the list of things that magnesium is responsible for in the body, maybe up to 80% of our biochemistry, our biological functions are driven by magnesium. So magnesium is the generalist, you know, so I'm specializing in a nutrient that generalizes itself throughout the whole body.
Yes, but we look at our soil today. Our soil is depleted of those essential minerals to begin with. We look at our diet. You've said this before, that we had over-calcified our diet over the years, so... And also the ratio, that was interesting. I know, I just, because we have some new listeners that were not on our calls before, but you talk about the ratio of calcium with magnesium in milk, for example. It's 7:1. So there's more calcium than magnesium in milk, which is not good.
Right, yes, the ratios that people seem to hold in their mind that, you know, have been drummed into us are that we should have two parts calcium and one part magnesium in our supplements. But actually, Nancy, that was a mistranslation from a French researcher, magnesium researcher, Jean Durlach, who said never, never, ever go above two parts calcium to one part magnesium in your food, in your water, and your supplements. So that could translate it into, oh, we should have 2:1. So that really caused a lot of problems. And what's happened is because allopathic medical industry started promoting calcium as a prevention for osteopenia and osteoporosis, and food companies started fortifying food like orange juice. I think it has, oh, any, is it
27
to 20?
Parts of calcium? 27 parts.
Yeah, 27 times more calcium than magnesium. So every time you drink that bottled orange juice, you're actually calcifying yourself. And, you know, there's so many aspects to what's happening. I mean, allopathic medicine, you know, the only preventive medicine they do is tell people to take calcium. Mostly women over 40 take your calcium, and then they can check off, yeah, I did some preventive medicine today. And as I said at the outset, there have been several studies showing that if women take calcium supplements, they're at a higher risk for heart disease. So what's happening there is the calcium is being held into the body, you know, very tightly. You get constipated when you take calcium. Everybody knows that. So it's held in the body. It's not getting to the bones if you don't have enough magnesium. That's number one. Magnesium is required to dissolve the extra calcium that can be precipitating in soft tissue in the body. And what they haven't come to yet, but, you know, it's a fact, when you're taking calcium supplements and you can precipitate the calcium into soft tissues like your breasts. So there's this huge almost epidemic of a breast tissue calcium buildup, little calcification found on a mammogram. And when doctors find that, they immediately think, oh, this could be cancer. And it sends women into a whole, you know, round of biopsies, more mammograms, and, you know, really scares the living daylights out of them, because the doctors think that this buildup of calcification in the breast tissue can be cancer, and they have to prove that it isn't. So there's so many reasons why taking too much calcium is not good for us. And we know from our diet that we actually get more calcium in the diet than we do magnesium. Calcium doesn't burn off when you cook foods like deep green leafy vegetables. They'll hold on to their calcium and you'll lose your magnesium. But like you already said, it starts in the soil, where if you do not have fertilizers that replace minerals, especially magnesium, then you're just not going to have them in the plants. They don't come out of thin air. And, you know, the crazy thing about farming is that we have pesticides and herbicides that are put on the soil that actually deplete minerals even more. The Roundup Ready glycophosphate will bind 50% of the magnesium that's in the soil. And the half-life of that herbicide is 23 years. So we've got real problems when you look at that sort of data and information. And the lack of magnesium in the diet then means the calcium that I said, it's not, you know, there's more calcium in the soil, it's not burned off when you cook food. So even in a bad diet, you're getting more calcium than you are getting magnesium. And the body has learned to grab onto calcium because it's so necessary for the bones, but it will release magnesium if there's too much. And I've recently begun talking about that. It's an evolutionary fail-safe around the fact that when humans grew up around oceans, they had much more access to high magnesium foods, fish and seaweed and, you know, other products from the sea, whereas they didn't have access to calcium. I mean, there were no dairy cattle, you know, no cheese, you know, nothing in the deep green leafy vegetable line. So you weren't getting calcium back then, but you required it for your bones. So that's where vitamin D comes along. Vitamin D is a hormone that grabs calcium and helps put it into bones. And what, you know, yeah, so now, you know, thousands of years later, we still have that fail-safe for calcium, and yet we keep piling the calcium in, and we hold on to it very tightly, And it's causing us problems because we don't recognize that the body, I mean, the body is quite capable of taking care of itself in a lot of ways, and we just have to balance it with the right nutrient intake.
Since you mentioned vitamin D, I was going to keep this one for the last, but let's talk about this. And by the way, if you're listening via webcast, you can submit any questions. I know some of you will already submit your question. We'll do our very best to answer as many as possible. And so going back to the vitamin D, it was going back in March, you had on your newsletter and also on your blog, you were sharing your concern about the blanket recommendation for taking a high dose, like, I don't know, I think it was 50,000 IU of vitamin D a day. That's a lot of vitamin D.
Yes, and that's what the allopathic doctors are doing. They you know, jumped on this bandwagon about the vitamin D blood testing showing low values. Now, the vitamin D they're testing in the first place is just the storage form of vitamin D. It's not even the active form. So, you know, I'd like to get to the bottom of why they're not looking at the active form. But they look at the storage form, it's low, and they say, oh, this vitamin is low, we need to give more. But it turns out if you look at what vitamin D really is, which is a hormone, hormones will have an interaction with the body where they'll be high and activated when the body needs them, and they'll be low when the body doesn't need them. So if one of the main functions of vitamin D is to make sure we have enough calcium, then if the body has enough calcium and we're actually calcified, the vitamin D is going to be low, naturally low, because it does not need to work so hard, because it doesn't need to force calcium into the body. We've already given it enough calcium. And I got twigged onto this because I had a lot of people starting to email me when this whole high vitamin D business began, because they would say, you know, it's really strange. I was doing great on my magnesium, and then my doctor told me to take high doses of vitamin D, and I started feeling bad again, as if I had my magnesium deficiency symptoms again. And, you know, when I'd go over it with them, I'd realize that what the vitamin D was doing is grabbing more calcium, overloading the body with calcium, overworking the magnesium or neutralizing the magnesium or eliminating the magnesium, so that it took away their magnesium and made them magnesium deficient when they stopped the vitamin D or stopped the vitamin D and calcium that they were taking. Then they would feel much better as their magnesium was able to be balanced out properly. So it's not something that you'll hear a lot about, but, you know, maybe in the next 10 years we might realize that. And unfortunately, a lot of people are going to suffer in the meantime.
But how much would you recommend then for the vitamin D? Or is there a test, a specific test that you recommend?
Well, what it is, as I said, there's the storage form of vitamin D that they test for, and what you do is you just look to be low normal. You don't even look to be in the mid-range or in the high range. I mean, you know how we feel, oh, the higher the better, but in this case, it's not necessarily so. And you have to gauge your symptoms. I mean, some people will be very annoyed with me and say, well, you know, it wasn't until I took 20,000 IUs of vitamin D a day that, you know, a lot of my symptoms went away, and it may be the case. It, for some individuals, it certainly may be the case, and it may be short term. I don't know. It could be long term, but I just want people to be aware that whatever they take in, it shouldn't really not be very high doses. But, you know, that it's a very allopathic approach, and it can throw things out of balance. The vitamin D I recommend, I mean, obviously it has to be vitamin D3, and I'm only saying, you know, 400 to 800 units still as a baseline unless people do their blood tests and are below the normal range, then they could be taking, you know, 1,000, maybe 2,000 at most, but really have to follow it. The one that I personally use is called Blue Ice Royal. I don't know why that name, but Blue Ice is a fermented cod liver oil, and it also has an additional vitamin butter oil. This is the Weston A. Price people talk about the importance of vitamin D, but it should be in a fermented state, and the important factors in butter oil. And what you're getting in this combination is your vitamin D, your vitamin A, and vitamin K2. Vitamin K2, you can read about that. It's an important vitamin that's actually very helpful for directing the calcium properly into the bones. So there's a lot more to, you know, calcium, magnesium, and these vitamins than we even hear about commonly, because it gets a little bit complex. And, you know, we depend on shows like yours, Nancy, in order to get the information out there so people can at least have the basics and they can do their own research.
Yes, exactly. That's right. But there's so much information out there. It's very confusing for a lot of people. And you know, the area that it's very confusing, Dr. Dean, is supplements. And I'm glad that you know, we talk about vitamin D and magnesium. It's confusing. It's very, like, people are overwhelmed. But okay, I just wanted to recap. So the vitamin D that you recommend is called the Blue Ice. It's fermented vitamin D and butter oil for vitamin A.
Correct.
Vitamin K2.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Blue Ice Royal has the D, A, and K all together in this food source. So there's nothing synthetic about it. A lot of the vitamin D3 on the market is actually, I mean, people tell me it's from sheep lanolin, and it has to be processed from. So it's important, I think, to get a food source. And then when you do get a food source, you're getting a source that the body can digest. And you're also, as we both talk about, taking responsibility for your own health. You're researching a product, you're taking it, and you're seeing how you feel with it. But there are support groups. I know the Magnesium Advocacy Group on Facebook is very active right now, and we talk about these different supplements, and it's mostly about magnesium, but obviously other things come into it. And to me, in the talk about supplements, I get very basic. I'm not like a lot of the doctors in integrative medicine. They got into, you know, IV minerals and vitamins, and then lots of the esoteric supplements. And in my small telephone consultation practice, I'll talk to people, and they'll be on dozens and dozens and dozens of supplements. You know, they'll read all the health blogs and be told, oh, you have to have this or that, this supplement or that supplement, you know, the real esoteric, very expensive supplements. And it's kind of fear-based, in my opinion, because people are afraid that, you know, they'll be sick if they don't take these supplements, and that's what's used to sell them. But in my experience with my clients and my blog readers, if you can saturate yourself with magnesium, eat a good diet, lots of greens and vegetables and not too many carbs, you know, you're avoiding sugar, wheat, and dairy for the most part if you have yeast. And then I tell people to take some food-based supplements, a B-complex, a C-complex, and a multiple vitamin and mineral. And, you know, that's about it. It's, you know, very stripped down so that you're not just swallowing pills and expecting that to take care of you. you get your baseline of good health. And you mentioned my online wellness program. This is what I stress over and over again in my weekly modules for people to get the basics in their diet, you know, sleep well, have a good attitude, you know, do all the basic things. And then you work on, well, do I need this supplement or that supplement? A lot of the supplements you can get in a good green powder. If you don't have time to blend your greens and or juice your greens, there are green powders that you can either buy a complete green powder, or you can make a get a formula where you buy the different ingredients and make your own. So it's very basic, but I think a lot of people with the massive stress and there no time to cook and, you know, hardly any time to sleep, they're depending on supplements to take care of them, much like they learn about taking drugs when they have a symptom. They think a pill will take care of everything, and we know that's not true at all.
And I feel the same way. To keep it, you know, keep it basic as much as possible, and focus on your lifestyle. Focus on if you have too much stress, then, you know, work on that area. You mentioned that, you know, your work is your play. You love your work, and that is so important. You spend 2 hours on the beach. Not everyone who can spend, you know, 3 hours on the beach, but it's you know, if it's not the beach, it's somebody, it's something else. But also too, how can our body, like, if a body is acid due to stress, due to our lifestyle, how can the body absorb those nutrients? So people are spending way too much money on supplements and yet not enough time focusing on the most important things in their life that would kind of alkalize the body and then bring more joy to the life. So anyway, so we can spend a whole hour just talking about that. But Dr. Dean, I have a question from Larry Levin. And here's a question. So it's about magnesium. So we're off the vitamin D, so we're back on magnesium. So I play racquetball twice a week and belong to Snap Fitness Exercise twice a week. I do not know about where my magnesium level is, but I'm having my annual exam done. I try Nature Made Magnesium, 250 milligram, but I get diarrhea just from one tablet. So I'm not able to take magnesium. Do I have enough in my system, or am I taking the wrong kind?
Yes, and that's a brilliant question, because when we say the fail-safe of magnesium is a laxative effect, then yes, you're wondering, well, I get the laxative effect from one. Doing a lot of sports means you're sweating a lot, so you will lose magnesium. That's burning off your magnesium. The best thing to do is to ask your doctor for an RBC magnesium test, or it can be called magnesium RBC. It's far better than a serum magnesium test. If your doctor won't do it, or his or her lab won't do it, you can actually in the U.S. get this test through an online company, strange as it sounds. But the company is called requestatest.com. So you just go to the website requestatest.com and type in RBC magnesium. It's $49 for the test. The range of values is 4.2 to 6.8. Now, here's the clincher. What you want is to be around 6.5. The problem with blood tests is that they sample the sick population. And since 80% of the population is deficient in magnesium, the range is going to be too low for optimum health. So you can get your values. Then in terms of the type of magnesium, as I said earlier, I have that exact effect if I take pills or powders of magnesium, runs right through me. So I had to, for the second edition of the Magnesium Miracle, I talked about spraying your body with magnesium oil. Now, you know, that can be kind of irritating to the skin, and it's certainly a drag to have to get all your magnesium through your skin. So I finally started researching my own product, and after, you know, 43 years in medicine, I finally got into the product business, and I use Pico ionic form of magnesium. PICO stands for picometer. The processing of this type of magnesium is it makes it the magnesium so small in the picometer size range, which is the exact size of the mineral ion channels. So your magnesium goes directly into your cells. It doesn't go anywhere near the intestines, and you have no laxative effect. And I've used it long enough now. I have so many people telling me about their reactions. I have people who depended on IV magnesium because they had so many magnesium deficiency symptoms where they would waste their magnesium and lose it so readily. And they're on this picoionic form of magnesium orally, and it's as effective as their IV magnesium. So there is hope. And they talk about this form of magnesium. I'm not going to give the name. I'm not advertising products here, but you can check it out on either my website or the Magnesium Advocacy Group to find out more.
Yeah, but you have the it's not like on your website, you have the banner on your website, it's Red Mag. Is that what you're talking about? Is that the PICO Ionic?
Yes, it's Remag. That's right.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, okay. Is that okay if I mention the name or yeah?
Of course. I mean, I just didn't want to make your show about my product.
Oh, by the way, you know what? It's about you, Caroline.
Thank you.
You're so generous with the information. But also, too, you know what? I download your the Kindle version of The Invisible Minerals, for which you wrote an e-book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that e-book, that's where I talk about this picoionic form of magnesium. And actually, when people get the REMAG product, they get that book for free.
Oh, okay. So that's, okay. So, but you can download, okay. But where did I get that book then? Okay.
And actually, I think I recently put it up on my Organized Wisdom Health Library website. I did offer it for free on that website too. People can look at my blog, and at the bottom I have my Organized Wisdom Health Library link. And actually, you know, I've got about 130 different magnesium articles and books on that website. And I think the top two ones, one of them I have the free module of my Magnificent Magnesium module for free, and the Invisible Minerals booklet for free.
Oh, okay. I haven't read the book, but it's on my list. It's on my list.
Mm-hmm.
My list to do.
Yes, okay. A lot of people will, you know, because it is Kindle, they'll buy it on Kindle for a couple of dollars and enjoy it that way. So, yeah, I love my Kindle too.
Oh, right. Just you know, I love my hard copies of books too. So, but okay, just to recap, Dr. Dean. So, the supplement for magnesium that you recommend is called the picoionic magnesium. Absorb 100% at the cellular level. But if you go on to drcarolinedean.com, you'll see the banner. It's right at the front on the front page. You can just click on the product. So. I've never tried a product, but hey, if Dr. Dean said it's good, it's good. It's a good one. So,
yeah, thank you.
The magnesium, okay, so you said a good test would be the RBC blood test, and you said it's only available in the States. So what I did is I Google request a test lab in Canada, so you tell me if it's a good one. CalgaryLabServices.com, is that the same thing, or...?
It sounds like it, yes. I mean, there's standardized ways of doing the RBC magnesium test, so it should be reliable in any licensed lab. I just thought request a test was not available in Canada, according to what people are saying on the Magnesium Advocacy Group, but if you, in Canada, you just ask your doctor for an RBC magnesium test or, you know, phone the labs and find out if they have it. You know, it's a very valuable test. You see, otherwise, doctors don't even bother with magnesium tests because they haven't seen them to be clinically relevant. because what happens is magnesium is so crucially important for keeping the heart functioning properly. I mean, we haven't really talked a lot about what magnesium does, but it's responsible for keeping the muscles in a relaxed state. Calcium contracts muscles. Same with the nerves. Calcium makes nerves fire, and magnesium relaxes nerves. So if the heart muscle, which is one of the biggest muscles in the body, if that does not have enough magnesium, the heart goes into, you know, chronic contraction, which ends up being an angina or a heart attack. So because magnesium is so vitally important, it will always stay at a normal, efficient level in the bloodstream. If it does drop down, you know, if you're exercising a lot or you're stressed or you drink coffee or alcohol, et cetera, et cetera, the body will just grab magnesium out of the bones or out of the muscles and put it in the bloodstream. So you'll measure it, you know, it'll always look pretty normal. If the serum magnesium is below normal or very low normal, then you're really in trouble. But the RBC magnesium in the red blood cells, there is about 40% of the magnesium of the body is in cells. The rest of it is in our bones. So if you sample the RBCs, then you're going to have a better understanding of your magnesium levels.
Okay, that's great. Okay, a few questions are coming in. Here's a really good one. It's from Margarita, and Margarita is, hi, Dr. Dean. I take Natural Calm, and I've been taking Natural Calm now for 2 months for the atrial fibrillation. I do feel better, but my ionized magnesium test does not show any change of magnesium levels while there is a substantial magnesium in my urine. So does that mean that I don't absorb this form of magnesium?
Well, yes, that's amazing. You got an ionized magnesium test. That is it's like a research level of magnesium test, so that's highly accurate. And yes, this is the problem with some of us. I have not had my magnesium urine test, I suspect I have what's called magnesium wasting disease, where I'll take magnesium orally or even IV, and then it just flushes out of my body. So that's possibly what's going on there. And I guess, you know, what I had to do with my condition was get this REMAG product going so that I could have a substance that I could take that would not flush out through my intestines. Because, see, for me to get enough magnesium to treat my symptoms, I would get the laxative effect before I get the therapeutic effect. So for some of us, yes, we just need to be taking magnesium in this picoionic form 2 or 3 times a day to keep our symptoms away. However, you know, even with this REMAG product, there is a period of time where you're building up your stores and then you're saturated. And when you take too much, even of the REMAG, you will get the laxative effect, which shows you that you're saturated now. So I know it sounds kind of complicated, but you know, there are some of us who really require a lot of magnesium, and we have to get it in a form that we don't lose.
Okay, yeah, but she also added that she tried the transdermal magnesium, which it was diluted, and she felt awful, and her blood pressure and heart rate went down drastically. So.
Yes, you know, I don't know exactly what's happening there. I have written a blog called When Magnesium Makes Me Worse.
Wow.
And it's good for people, you know, because sometimes when people start their magnesium and kind of open up all their pathways that have been slowed down for a long time, they can feel kind of revved up and irritable, and just like the body wants more magnesium, but you might misinterpret it that you're reacting badly to the magnesium. So magnesium is like a food. The body absolutely requires it. It's required in every cell of the body in order to create energy, in order to do all kinds of biochemical processes. So people don't, you know, they're not allergic to magnesium. They can be sensitive to some of the binders and fillers in the pills and powders, but magnesium is very safe. And it may be that, you know, spraying the body with the oil, too much got absorbed and just stirred things up. You know, one of the things that happens with magnesium is it detoxifies the body, especially the REMAG form. It goes straight into the cells and it pushes out heavy metals. You know, it pushes out toxins. So a person can feel they're detoxifying when they take magnesium. But usually, you know, for most people in the beginning of taking magnesium, they just start feeling calmer. Their muscles aren't so tight. Their shoulders aren't up around their ears. They're sleeping better. They're eating better. You know, everything just feels, you know, much more like they're much more able to cope with life. So, you know, people who are very toxic or have been very deficient in magnesium for a long, long time, they can have these, you know, strange reactions to magnesium. But like I said, I've written about it and blogged about it, and they can go on the magnesium advocacy group and get support around those types of symptoms.
Yes. Okay. Here's another great question from Katrin. And so, Dr. Dean, just to clarify, is there any such thing as organic Epsom salt? Is a bath or a foot soak best in plain Epsom salt, magnesium sulfate, versus, for example, dead sea salt with magnesium, bromine, sodium, and potassium? In other words, or more ingredient, including whatever lavender in addition to the magnesium sulfate, is better or worse?
Well, it's interesting about Epsom salt. I talk a lot about them and, you know, how great they are, especially the sulfate component is important. But, you know, many years ago, one of the parents of one of the autistic children that I was working with, she said that when she used Epsom salt, her son got worse, and she did testing and found out he had somehow he developed more heavy metal poisoning. So she had the Epsom salts tested, and they were contaminated. So, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, sometimes these products, you know, the cheaper they are, the more they can come from areas where they're not tested. I began using, and the resources list is on my website under resources. I began recommending magnesium chloride flakes in bath form, along with clay baths to detoxify. Now, that doesn't have the sulfur in it. Some people will add some MSM to their baths. There's a lady, Mary Jean, in the Philippines. She creates a product using magnesium and sulfur to create an external product and is having great results with it. So, you know, Katrine, too, could go on the Magnesium Advocacy Group and just search the magnifying glass there and find out who's been talking about all these products.
Are you still, well, now that you have your product on your site, but do you still recommend magnesium spray, you know, the magnesium oil or spray on your body?
Oh, yes. You know, we tell people to take it all. I tell people, you know, do some calm, because you see, Nancy, 60% of the population is constipated. So the, you know, certain magnesiums will help give you a gentle, safe laxative effect, but you might not get the therapeutic effect. So you do the REMAG as well. And if you have fibromyalgia or aches and pains, then you want to spray locally to get the value of the magnesium right at the tissue. And as Dr. Norm Shealy says about magnesium oil sprayed on the skin, it activates your DHEA receptor sites at the skin level, so it has a benefit there as well. So, yes, I would do it all.
especially if you travel. I know if you've shared this on one of our calls together, if you travel, so make sure that you have your magnesium with you.
Yes, absolutely. I tell people, yes, I have the laxative effect with any magnesium, but yes, when I travel, I will definitely take the Natural Calm and use it just to make sure I stay regular.
Yes. Can you, Caroline, can you list again the symptom of low magnesium?
The symptoms of low magnesium, I mean, let's just go from head to foot. You can have headaches. You can have migraine headaches. You can have eye twitching, or any little muscle on your face can be twitching. You can have actually your throat kind of seizing up. Some people will tell me they, you know, when they swallow a certain way or certain things, their throat just goes into spasm. That's magnesium deficiency. I've had people going to dozens of specialists for that type of symptom, the esophageal spasms, and they never once talk about magnesium as a treatment. I've had people who say they've been in like a life-threatening esophageal spasm where they're choking on something they've just tried to swallow, and someone will give them a little sip of Natural Calm and water, and they'll just hold that there above the spasm, and the spasm will release. And then, you know, they learn from that they're deficient in magnesium, so they take magnesium every day and never have a spasm again. And, you know, any sort of fibromyalgia symptom, even heartburn, when you have a spasm of your plexus between your diaphragm, the area where your diaphragm separates your esophagus from your stomach, if that goes into spasm, then that can cause heartburn. You release that spasm by taking magnesium, and your heartburn can go away. The rest of the body, I mean, we're talking about detoxing. We're talking about supporting the liver so that the liver can detoxify. So if you're magnesium deficient, you'll feel fatigued. You'll feel hungover. You'll feel, you know, fuzzy. The tiredness, that's to do with the body not producing enough ATP, the adenosine triphosphate, which is the energy packet of the of each cell in the body. I mean, the biochemistry is very clear. If you don't have magnesium, you don't make ATP. And, you know, why our biochemistry in medical school did not get translated into clinical application is a real crime, because it was right there. I was there. I had 200 hours of biochemistry and 0 hours of nutrition. So nobody said, oh, look, every biochemical function in the body requires a vitamin and mineral in order to proceed to the next step. Isn't that interesting? Oh, maybe it means that if we don't have vitamins and minerals, these things don't work as well. And instead, what happened in medicine is they took all these symptoms, tried to call them a disease, and give a drug for them. And now we find out that most of the drugs that we take are depleting our magnesium. I mean, we have drugs like the fluoride antibiotics, like Cipro, the fluoroquinolones they're called. They kill your magnesium. So I get panic calls from people who've ruptured a tendon or have really horrible muscle pain on Cipro, and they've heard a little bit about magnesium being involved, and I put them on high doses of magnesium, and it heals up the damage.
Wow. But is there any risk of taking too much magnesium? Is that possible?
Well, in you'll hear some noise about that on the medical sites where, you know, they're afraid of magnesium interfering with drugs. The interference with drugs is that you don't need so much drugs when you take magnesium. But the true contraindications to magnesium therapy, as I have in the book, are kidney failure. So when the kidneys fail, there's an inability to clear magnesium from the kidneys, but you know, I'll tell you, I have a number of clients now who have really, you know, severe kidney disease, and they're very low in their magnesium. And when they take the right form of magnesium that goes straight into their cells, then it is actually reversing their kidney disease to an extent. And I've blogged about that, actually, where a magnesium researcher confronted a kidney specialist and asked to study 100 of his patients and find out what was going on with their magnesium. And what the magnesium researcher found out was their ionized magnesium levels were very low, which was the magnesium in their cells, but their serum magnesiums were high. Because their body is so sick, the body's just trying to pump the magnesium into the bloodstream to keep everything afloat. So what the magnesium researcher did was give them some of the ionized type of magnesium and found out their serum levels went to normal and their ionized levels went to normal and their kidney disease started to clear up. So the magnesium researcher said to the kidney specialist, well, I guess you're going to have to revise your books and tell people that magnesium is not dangerous in kidney disease. And he said, well, let this be our little secret. And I'm not giving any names, but I'm definitely telling this story far and wide because I think that's horrendous. That information is being kept from people. And that is the first contraindication. Kidney failure and people on kidney dialysis who are severely magnesium deficient, they're having spasms and muscle cramps and tension that you wouldn't believe. The other one is myasthenia gravis. Myasthenia gravis is already a condition of acute muscle relaxation. And if you give magnesium intravenously to someone with myasthenia gravis, they can react poorly. But again, I have people telling me, because, you know, they'll read this and say, well, you know, I have myasthenia gravis. I got the mercury out of my teeth, and that made me better. And when I took the, you know, good form of magnesium, that helped as well. So the other one is excessively slow heart rate. And, you know, what we know about magnesium, it relaxes the heart muscles. So you don't want to slow your heart rate even more if it's already slow. And that, you know, I can't argue with. But, you know, at the same time, Nancy, I recently got an award from the Heart Rhythm Society in the UK. They're a huge international organization. And they gave me, for my work with magnesium, the Arrhythmia Alliance Outstanding Medical Contribution to Cardiac Rhythm Management Services Award 2012. Very long title. Someone told me, and I wrote a blog about this, saying, Making Miserable People Happy Award. Because when you have an arrhythmia, I mean, your heart, it's like your heart is going against you, and it's very frightening. It's one of the most frightening things. I mean, I know because I had the heart palpitations, but when you get the emails I do every day from people saying, well, you know, I read your book, I took the magnesium, you know, my 20 years of atrial fibrillation or heart palpitations was gone in a week. I mean, that is remarkable. And these are people like one lady in her early 80s with her chronic atrial fibrillation. She was offered a surgery for a double pacemaker because they said the three drugs we're going to give you to stop your arrhythmia will also stop your heart. So you need these artificial pacemakers. I mean, she just ran. And then her daughter found me, and she started the REMAG, which in her case, as I was saying, it was as effective as the IV magnesium in the hospital. And, you know, it controlled her arrhythmia.
Well, your blog?
And the fourth one. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
but the fourth
contraindication
is bowel obstruction. If the main route of elimination of oral magnesium is through the bowel, then if you obstruct your bowel, you don't get rid of it. But, you know, again, with the something like the REMAG, where it's very low potency, you take a small amount of it, it goes directly into your cells. It doesn't even get anywhere near your intestines. So, you know, the contraindications themselves aren't really 100% valid. So if someone takes too much magnesium, they may think they're getting worse. You read my blog, When Magnesium Makes Me Worse, and you follow your symptoms. I have another blog about the 100 factors that make you realize your magnesium deficiency. I call it gauging magnesium deficiency. And you follow your symptoms. I mean, it's crazy this day and age where people will be on half a dozen drugs and yet they'll email me and say, well, is it safe to take magnesium? And, you know, they're on all these life-threatening mm-hmm. drugs. I mean, the reason why most drugs work anyway, this was told to me by Dr. Mildred Zelig, who became a magnesium expert. She said that when she did studies for the pharmaceutical industry and people took drugs and they asked her to study what happened to nutrients, magnesium would become elevated in the bloodstream when you took a drug. So, you know, her thinking and my thinking is that the first honeymoon, the first few weeks of taking the drug when people might feel better is probably caused by magnesium being elevated because the body is trying so hard to get rid of that toxicity.
So no matter what, just take magnesium and you're safe, you're good. And Dr. Dean, we're over the hour. Are you okay for another 5 minutes? I feel that they're just...
Oh, yes, of course. No problem.
Thank you. But that's, I mean, it's the magnesium. It's just add your magnesium into your supplement kit. But going back with the kidney disease, like kidney stones, so taking magnesium would be good for kidney stones.
Oh, absolutely. In one of the chapters in the book, I talk about some of the studies that have shown that. Magnesium along with vitamin B6, as I mentioned earlier, one of the vitamins I recommend is a B-complex, and that's because of the B6 is very important in helping magnesium metabolism. So, you see, if you take some sort of calcium in powder form, you try to dissolve it in water, it won't. The glass will stay cloudy, the water in the glass. If you add a magnesium powder that has no binders or fillers, just straight magnesium powder, then the glass of water will turn clear because the magnesium will help the calcium dissolve.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And then going back with different form of magnesium, so your REGMAG is a good form, which is available on your website, drcarolinedean.com. And then the flake for your bath, the spray for your body, the oil for your mm-hmm. body. And how about magnesium lotion? Is that something you would recommend?
Yes, I like the company that I recommend has the lotion as well, and I like that the best. It doesn't seem to irritate my skin at all. And then, you know, there's the natural calm form, which is a magnesium citrate. Rarely people will feel a little heartburny with the citric acid in the magnesium citrate. The magnesium oxides, I mean, a few people swear by it, but it's a heavy laxative in that only 4% of it is absorbed and 96% goes through the intestines. So people who are very constipated, they'll use the magnesium oxide. But, you know, like I tell them, well, you're not going to get much of a therapeutic effect with only absorbing 4%. So that would be a person who would also take the REMAG to get the therapeutic effect of magnesium in their cells. There are other forms like the magnesium chelates. They say they're better absorbed, but, you know, I haven't found that to be the case. So, you know, I don't do a lot of recommendation of the chelates, but, you know, people will find there's a dimagnesium malate that has a time-release factor in it that some people swear by. But, you know, you want to sort of just keep it keep it to a limited number of things just to keep track, you know, the REMAG, the transdermal forms, and the natural calm magnesium citrate. Those tend to be the ones that I talk about most.
Before we end this call, I wanted to someone just sent a testimonial about your REMAG. It's from Lisa. She's from California. I take REMAG daily and love it. I'm much more calm, and my mind chatter and panic attacks are gone. Thank you, Dr. Dean. Now, I'm not saying this because I'm getting something out of REMAG or anything from Dr. Dean. I just love what she recommends, and she's got good information. So there you go. So thanks, Lisa.
Yes, we didn't even talk about anxiety. I mean, I get a lot of emails and consults about just overwhelming anxiety that people are feeling, and they've been told it's mental. You know, they've been on their drugs, and it hasn't helped. And you know, I remember one case of a gentleman who, his first consult, he was in the middle of a panic attack, and I said, do you have Epsom salts? And yes. And okay, go to the bathtub and, you know, start pouring water in, put in a couple of cups of Epsom salts, and just put your feet in the water while we talk. And, you know, within 10 minutes, his anxiety attack was gone. And it's kind of proved to him, just, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that it was a physical thing. It's not mental, emotional, most of these anxiety attacks. It's the physical body getting tight and irritated, and just you feel like you can crawl out of your skin, and then you start worrying, and your adrenal glands kick in and throw out some adrenaline. You start panicking because your adrenaline is pushing your heart rate up, and it becomes a horrible, vicious cycle. And then when you go to your doctor and you know, talk about your symptoms, immediately you're put on a drug, and you figure, gosh, you know, I'm a mental case. And it's so far from the truth, because everybody who I've talked to about their panic attacks has said that the magnesium absolutely helps.
You've been listening to Dr. Caroline Dean, and visit her website at drcarolinedean.com. So, and you can join her 2-year online wellness program. It's called the Complement Now. And listen to her radio show, which was launched, last week or 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, yes, 2 weeks.
Wow, that's exciting. That's exciting. So she's not retiring.
I know, imagine. I mean, I've been on thousands of radio shows as a guest, and this is the first time I've had my own show, and it is very exciting. I'm enjoying it a lot.
And I'm sure you're going to share a lot. So I might be in one of your shows. I'll take the time to listen to one of your show for sure. So Dr. Dean, it's always an honor and pleasure to have you on the call. I mean, this is our fifth call. I learned a lot on this call again, and I really appreciate the work that you're doing. I know many of my followers are following you, and they appreciate the information that you have available. So, and thank you.
You're welcome, and I'm getting emails asking me if people can, if this is being archived so they can listen later.
This is like I mentioned at the beginning, all my calls are free to listen, and but they are archived in the Women's Health Academy. And but we can talk, you know, Carol, I'll tell you how you can use the calls for your listeners later.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, excellent. And thank you for all your good work. I mean, if it wasn't for shows like yours, I mean, people would just be, you know, flapping around and not knowing what they really need to know about their health. So this is wonderful. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. So again, you've been listening to Dr. Caroline Dean. Visit her website, drcarolinedean.com. And thank you, and let's stay in touch. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm Nancy Desjardins from HealthLady.com. Thanks, Dr. Dean. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Aloha.